Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Francesca, and I'm here with former Demon student, current LSAT badass, Marissa. Marissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Awesome. Marissa, why don't you tell us about your LSAT test experience? Why don't we start there? What happened? You took the test a couple times recently.
Yeah, so I took it in September, and I took it in October as well. I was hitting my practice test scores that I wanted like mid-August, or I guess it was like early August. So I signed up in time for September, and I also signed up for October just to have it in my back pocket. And yeah, I took September. It did not go well, but I was, you know, I think I was nervous and there's lots of stuff going on. So yeah, I took September, got a 162, and then like studied my ass off for the intermediary, like 4 or 5 weeks or whatever. And then took October and got a 173.
Yeah. Congrats on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Let's back up. Let's go over the context here. Tell us about your LSAT journey. Where did you start? What was it like? What did you do? How'd you get there?
I decided I wanted to go to law school in May of this year, so May 2021 or 2022, and I started studying with another program. And this was like Memorial Day, so it was late May. Did that for like a week and a half, and then my friend from high school she like posted on Instagram. She's at Penn, and I was like, "Hey, what did you do when you were studying for the LSAT?" And she was like, "Oh my God, let me tell you what you need to do." And she's like, "You need to sign up for LSAT Demon. This is the only way." And so I did, and that was in June. And I did Demon Live for 4 months, and yeah, got the score that I wanted.
Awesome. And what was your schedule like while you were studying? What sorts of things were you doing? What were the things that really helped you along the way?
So I was studying probably about 3 to 4 hours a day. I had like pretty flexible work schedule. So I'd like study a little bit in the morning, work, study a little bit at lunch, and then like study at night. When I had COVID, I was studying like a ton, like 8 hours a day, cause like I was just going to class all the time cause it was my only human contact. But, yeah, I studied probably like 3 to 4 hours a day, on the weekdays, and on the weekends, I just got a good hour in. And that's what I did for the entire time.
Yeah, you put in the hours. The big thing there is the consistency, I think. And you probably felt that as well. Like just doing it day in and day out was a big part of seeing progress. And for people listening at home, like if you're doing the live program, if you're going to the classes, typically try not to count those classes as part of your time spent actually studying every day. You know, the 8 hours a day, I'm sure that it wasn't you sitting and doing focus drilling that whole time, but yeah. another way to study for sure. People often ask about plateaus. They want to see linear progress. We want to see that like what we're getting out of studying is proportional to what we're putting in. Did you see any trends in your progress? Did you have any plateaus? Were you ever frustrated?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I definitely thought I was the only one, and consistently, you know, everyone was just saying like, this is what happens. But yeah, I started out, my diagnostic was a 155. And then after probably like a month and a half of studying, I was sitting at a 160, just like could not move. I was like, I was signed up for the August test before I like even knew about the Demon's like advice about, you know, not signing up until you're hitting your practice test scores and things like that. So I like pushed my August test back. It's like, I'm never going to get past 160. Like, what am I even doing? And I just kept at it, like stayed as consistent as I could. And I mean, plateaus, they happen to everyone, regardless of where, you know, like, and then once that happened, I got to a 169. I was at a 169 for the next like month and a half, you know? So it's like, the progress is definitely not linear. I probably couldn't tell you what happened, and probably, you know, nothing happened other than just consistently doing the work and learning how to take the test better. But yeah, I couldn't tell you what happened between 160 and 169, but then like, or you know, what happened after that. But yeah, plateaus are totally like totally part of my story for sure.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what happened is you put in a ton of work and you were effective about how you went about that. Reviewing your mistakes, big part of it. Yeah, you got yourself above that hump there, and that's it's not that there was anything wrong while you were on the plateau. It's just progress is not linear. That's how she goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the days of the test themselves, were there any differences between how the two tests went, or was it just a matter of one was just not your day and then you were ready later?
Well, September, I was like just in a weird spot also with like personal stuff, but I had been sitting in the same place, studying in the same place. And I was like, surely like this will go how my practice tests went. And it did not. There, you know, there are some extenuating circumstances, and I, you know, was a little bit jet lagged. And so then in October, I thought I was going to completely blow this test, because the Friday before I did like an entire walkthrough. It's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit in my little spot. I'm going to eat my bar, going to eat my banana, walk my dog, come back inside, you know, have a little bit of time beforehand. Ended up breaking the door handle off of my apartment door and had to climb in through a window. I was fully panicked, like just totally panicked. But the thing that helped me the most was definitely like taking a minute and just like calming down and breathing. Like, I'm not the best meditator in the world, but like every single time I was like, what am I even doing? Like, this morning was so fucked up, like all this stuff, like just took a deep breath, took a couple deep breaths, like not thinking about the clock, just thinking about my own ability to answer questions and only answering questions when I was ready to answer them. So I think, yeah, that was the difference. Like, I think I allowed myself a little bit more time to like take a breath and relax in the October test, because I like had to, because I was all freaked out.
Yeah, stuff happens outside of your control all the time. I wonder whether part of that ability to bring yourself back into that, because I mean, you were an athlete, right? And still are, still an athlete?
Yeah. Still playing rec basketball, you know.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, part of that is like when things aren't going your way, you still have to, I'm not a basketball player, but I'd assume like center yourself and be like, okay, like I'm just going to focus on the next shot, the next pass, the next play, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, with this and with sports and with anything, I think having a short memory is definitely necessary.
Yeah, not taking in whatever just happened before, but focus on the next question in front of you. Same as you're going through the LSAT. You know, if the previous question was a dumpster fire, okay, whatever. There's a next one. And there's
yeah.
One.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm also glad that you brought up the point about like personal stuff going on. Cause like without going into details, I mean, everybody has that stuff going on. And sometimes it's like, why am I not progressing on the LSAT? Why did that test go so badly? But also like you're a human outside of the test and things going on in your life affect that also. And that's totally normal. And everybody's got that stuff going on. So yeah, definitely got to give yourself a little grace there. That's something that we don't often talk about because we're not like, we can't give you life advice, but we can be like, I hope things are going well outside of this test, because that's going to affect how you perform in here as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And like it's the same with like, you know, if you're drilling and you're like, I'm off, I'm having a bad day or whatever. It's the same with like having the same short memory with life. It's like, these things have happened. There's nothing I can do about it. It's in the past. And like, you're just going to keep moving forward with what you've got that day.
Yeah. I like how you said that, having a short memory about it. Is there anything else, any other wisdom that you want to leave for students who are trying to do the same, you know, almost 20 point jump that you did too, that are in the thick of it right now? Like, what do you want to tell people who are where you were a couple months ago?
Yeah. I think the main thing is that it's possible, and it's possible for anyone. Like I can very vividly remember, because it wasn't that long ago, what before I started thinking like, all I want is like a 165. I just want to have options, like, you know, but like, don't sell yourself short, because it truly is possible for anyone, like just based on the amount that you put into it. So I think like, yeah, for people who are in plateaus or who are thinking about taking the test, you know, where they're at right now, like you can't sell yourself short, because you can get past. Yeah. Like you can just, I think that this is the only thing, like I was a great standardized test taker. Like that was something that was true my entire life. And then, so coming to this and being like, oh, I'm not like naturally good at this. And like, we were talking about sports earlier, like sports came easy to me. Like these things I expect to be like relatively, I never expected to have to put in this much effort into anything, but like, if you know that this is what you want to do, and if you are willing to put in the hours, like it's possible for anyone.
Yeah. And we always say it's the start of your legal career, but it absolutely is within reach for anybody. I really believe that. And I don't know, after having talked to a lot of different students and like seen people's results after a lot of different types of study journeys that people have, one thing that really stands out to me is this idea that there's nothing, you know, inherently special or different about people who get an awesome LSAT score, knock it out of the park. There's not like an LSAT gene that's like, you got it or you don't. It's a big part of it is deciding that you're not going to settle for a certain score, that you're not going to, as you say, sell yourself short. And I don't know, there's this David Goggins quote that I really like, if you'll indulge me for a second, where he says, there's no special people, there's only special minds. It's not necessarily, and he says, and you create your mind. And it's kind of like, there's nothing, you know, 170 plus about 170 plus scores. It's just that a certain approach to studying that you took. And we pride ourselves on trying to help people get that approach and get that good advice and figure out how this test works and then try to fly on their own. But a big part of that is deciding that you're going to stay hungry for that score and that you know that you can get there and you're going to put in the time it takes. So
yeah,
I think it's awesome that you did that. And now you get to take that forward with yourself. That's awesome. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
And thank you seriously for like everything that you helped me with. It was great working with you and everything. So
yeah, you're super fun to work with. And that was all you. Like, we can't take credit. We helped give you the right advice, but like you're the one who put in the work for that. So don't forget that. All right. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.